Welcome to Your Weekly Dose podcast, the only show for those who missed the Mark and Brian radio program. Coming to you from Orange County in Southern California. Hear it happen live without a net every Saturday morning at 10 a.m. Pacific Standard Time. Download past episodes directly from our website, yourweeklydose.com. But if you're on the go, subscribe through iTunes, Podbean, Stitcher, and make sure you leave a review. Now, here's this week's show.
Shoes and I boarded the plane. Touched down in the land of the Delta Blues in the middle of the pouring rain. WC handy, won't you look down over me? Yeah, I got a first class ticket, but I'm as blue as a boy can be. Feet 10 feet off a beam, walking in Memphis. But do you really feel the way I feel? Saw the ghost of Elvis on Union Avenue. Followed him up to the gates of Graceland, and I watched him walk right through. Now security, they did not see him.
Now, in view of the conversation we had earlier, I love this song. Thing, waiting
for the king. Stolen the person.
Down in the jungle.
There you go.
When I was walking in Memphis.
Oh, well, good morning, everybody. Happy Saturday to all of you.
I love that song.
This is a great song.
Walking in
Memphis. It is a full house today. Steve Silva.
Oh, yeah.
Amber Ashmacari.
Good morning.
Producer Zach.
Hi-o.
And I'm Sean Roberts, and together we are your Weekly Dose podcast. And as always, we're streaming to you live from Orange County every Saturday morning.
Can I do it?
O.C. O.C.
No, you don't like it, do you?
No, I just like you when you try it.
I know. It's,
it's like, is it going to work? Is it going to work?
I think I'm so, so cool. Hey, guys. Hi, guys. I'm not cool. Thank you for joining us, you guys, this week. Listen, I have to try to be cool, okay? It's difficult. I'm such a dork.
Just let you know, you're weirdly white, too, when you do that.
I know, okay. I know. I'm the tiniest, littlest white girl. So, you guys, thank you. Thank you for being here this week and every week as we pay homage to our favorite radio gods, Mark and Brian, with the hopes of getting them into the Radio Hall of Fame next year because...
What?
What?
This year.
They deserve it.
This year. This year.
This year. Oh, my gosh. 2020.
Yeah,
that's right.
I'm sorry. I'm still 20.
That's all right.
You're forgetting the spirit of Barbara Walters.
Baba Wawa. So for those who have recently followed us, thank you guys. And thank you for joining the family. And we are so glad you're here with us listening. We love it. We love it. Let me do it one more time. You ready? You ready?
Go for it.
Oh, see.
That's a little bit better. That was a little bit better.
OC's not a gangster place. I don't even know why I try. It's not. I'm not in Stanton.
Yeah, true. Yeah. Or Santa Ana, for that matter.
I should do the LB. LB.
Yeah.
Long Beach.
And even if you're from Santa Ana, I'm like, what are pues, man? ¿Cómo estás?
Oh, you know, so. I wish I could do that. I prefer that.
Well, we got a pretty cool show for you guys today. We got a couple of announcements going on. We'll be talking about Elvis's 85th birthday, if he was alive. But yes. Steve don't care because he doesn't give a damn about Elvis.
Now, wait. I did love his movies. Go figure.
Oh.
Wow, that is weird. All right. Then we'll ask Steve later on what his favorite Elvis movie was.
There you go.
Or at least his top five. And then also, God damn it, we lost a great one, man. The passing of Neil Peart, the drummer from Rush, such an icon. Brain cancer, so we'll be talking about that later on. The pocket-sized cinema that we didn't get a chance to do last week.
Yay!
But before we kind of wrap up all that stuff and everything, we will be interviewing Bobo Burns later on. Hopefully, Bob will be in here in the studio.
Bobo.
And talking about actually a number of different things, his new album, his recent East Coast tour and European tour that he did all on his own on a shoestring budget. So
wow.
That's why we're having him in the show today. Talented guy. He plays an Americana style of music and everything. And then found out, too, that our friend Deb, intern Deb, She's back there. She knows, Bobo, you said played hockey with your husband, Neil.
Yeah.
So very cool. All right. So small world, you know, go fig. All right. So that's what we got going on today for all of us.
Well, compared to Uranus. Now, don't forget, it's a small world.
Thank you. I was waiting for that, Zach. I was waiting for that.
That's what I'm here for.
Now, don't forget that you can interact with the show commenting on our website, yourweeklydose.com. Find us on Twitter and Instagram.
Twitter. And your wheeling dose?
It's new. At Your Weekly Dose 1. Find us on Facebook or email us at yourweeklydose1@gmail.com.
Yes. And not only can you download the show for free from our website, but you can also subscribe through iTunes, iHeartRadio, Google Play, Stitcher Radio, and, of course, Spotify. Right? Mm-hmm. So just search for Your Weekly Dose, and most importantly, don't forget to rate and review the show as well. We need that. And we'd appreciate it. And we'll give you a special prize if you do it.
Yeah. Yes, we will. We will.
We'll do something.
We'll send you a great big thank you in the envelope.
Hugs and kisses.
As soon as you open it up.
Yes. Glitter. Glitter bombs.
Well, of course, you know what we need to do now.
Oh, I do.
You do, you know.
Let's go shopping.
Amazon.
I need to stop this. This is terrible. The tiniest, nerdiest white girl trying to act thug. Okay, so as always, we need to give a shout out to our...
And she's dressing like a mountain man, too.
I know. I look like... Well, Zach said...
The brawny man.
Brawny guy. Yeah, there you go.
Zach said, you look like Tim the Toolman Taylor.
No, I said... Owl.
Well, yeah.
Same show.
Yeah,
same
exactly. Show. Exactly. With my checkered flannel and my vest over top.
You look like you're about to chop down a cherry tree.
Well, this is our lesbian uniform is what I call it. Standard issue lesbian uniform right here.
Oh, my God.
Okay, back to the shopping. As always, we need to give a shout out to our sponsor, Amazon, because without them, we could not do the show for you guys and for us. Because the show is for us, too. We enjoy ourselves.
Yes, we do. Sometimes too much.
And they've been with us since day one, so we need you guys to shop with them, too.
That's right, Bubba. There's no better place
there it is.
To go shopping than Amazon. They have everything. So get what you want by shopping on Amazon. Just remember to use our banner.
All you guys need to do is go to our website, yourweeklydose.com, click on our Amazon banner, and bookmark it. That's the most important thing. That way, every time you want to shop on Amazon, you use the bookmark link. And by doing so, you help the show stay on the air.
Yes. What did you buy this?
That's right.
What did you do this week? I'm going to tell you mine first. You ready? Okay. I bought two things that contradict each other. I bought polishing toothbrush heads that make your teeth all beautiful and white. See these teeth right here?
Uh-huh.
Look at these.
They look like Chiclets.
I know. Thank you. They're so white. And I bought some tea. So, like, you know, stain them and then clean them off. Stain them, clean them off. And I got a great deal, and I used the banner.
Did you really?
Yes.
Finally?
So I'm caffeinated, and my teeth are still white. Bing, bang, boom. All
okay,
right,
well,
Steve.
In that vein, yes. Amazon has a plethora of dental products.
Yes.
Yes, they do. It's just Amazon Oral Care. Start the new year feeling sharp.
Ooh, I'll
with
bite
all
you.
Of the dental. They've got toothpaste, teeth whitening, toothbrushes, accessories, mouthwash, dental floss. And here's an odd one. Teeth grinding guards.
Oh, those are necessary sometimes for the TMJ.
Some people grind their
teeth at night.
Now,
yeah.
We've got everything you want. Anti-cavity fluoride paste and dental whitening tucks. And
the whitening toothbrush heads, just like the dentist uses.
They have three packs you can get. Yeah. Now, spit. There you go.
We're all about oral care today.
Yeah. Okay.
Was that a coincidence?
God, we're like a bunch of children.
Was that a coincidence you had that pulled up, or did you piggyback?
When you started
off
talking, you said that it went Amazon Dental.
There you go.
All right, well, if you're going to do all of your shopping online, there's
thank
only
you.
One place to go.
Thank you.
YourWeeklyDose.com to use our Amazon banner and get the job done. Remember, when you use our banner, you help support the show. Amazon.
Work hard, have fun, make history.
Wow, that was kind of like...
With proper dental care.
I'm being froggy today.
Okay. Well, we got through that.
I love that effect.
That's funny.
That's a budget.
Yeah. Well, we have a new announcement to make, guys. We've been talking about it and everything. It's finally happened.
I'm pregnant.
I thought you were a virgin.
Well, not anymore. We are now syndicated on Sitch Radio.
We need an effect for this, Zach. Yeah. We need some, like...
Let me try that. Well, that was anticlimactic. Yeah, so if you guys are not too familiar, Situation Radio basically is a new network, basically, that has different podcasts. They're based out of Irvine. And Brian...
OC. Yep.
Yeah. And Brian Colburn has taken us under wing on that and is now going to be syndicating our show on his network. So we want to thank him so much. In order to listen to us over there, you just have to go to sitchradio.com. That's SITCHradio.com. And not only that, though, but they have a new show also that is every Thursday and Friday from 6:30 to 8:30 a.m. It is the only live podcast in Orange County in the morning.
Oh, that's right. With
Tina Anderson.
Yes, Tina!
Also, yes, they did their first show. This past Friday, they did a wonderful job. It's called Drive Time OC Podcast. You can catch them on Situation Radio. You can also look up Situation Radio on Facebook and listen to it live from there as well. So,
I have to cue that one up.
Yeah, they did a good job. They did a good job. So it's every Thursday and Friday from 6:30 to 8:30 a.m. on SituationRadio.com. And also, your weekly dose podcast is now syndicated. Just go to SituationRadio.com. Look for our logo. Just scroll down, look for our logo, click on it, and you can catch all of our past shows as well.
That is so exciting.
Yeah, this is going to be fun. This is going to be very, very fun.
Moving
so.
On up.
Ooh, yeah. Moving on up.
Moving on up to the east side or somewhere. What, is it west side? West side?
West side.
She even screwed up that
something
yeah,
in
I
the sky.
I didn't watch that one. That was a little before
you,
my time.
You went from white to kind of opaque there.
Wow.
I'm clear. I'm translucent now.
You're becoming translucent.
There you go. Jeez. Hey, it is what it is. You know. Let's catch up real quick, though.
Okay, let's catch up.
Oh, boy.
We got time. Steve, how was your week, bud?
It was fun. We went and saw, what is it, The Rise of Skywalker for the second time.
Yeah.
I understood a lot more of it. And I thought it was a good movie. It wasn't like, I don't think it's a blockbuster. It ain't going to get nominated for much, but I think it was a good movie.
Yeah.
Enjoyed it.
Yeah. Very, very fine.
You want me to go next? Mine's
sure.
Really sad.
Why?
Mine's a parenting.
Ours,
you
ours
might,
is
you
worse.
Might laugh. I had a parenting fail last night.
Uh-oh.
My son goes for a sleepover with one of his little buddies and good friends of ours. My son and I have a thing where we do voices to each other. We've always done this. We like do all these little character voices. Mm-hmm. And one of them is we do demons to each other. Like, I'm a demon. We do all these little voices.
Kind of like, oh, see?
Yeah, okay. Exactly. Yeah. But better. It's my demon voice fits me much better. Yes. So
in your head.
Yeah. Thank you. Lots of things are better in my head.
Yeah.
Then they come out of my mouth and I'm like, oh, shit.
I'm white.
Insert foot. my shoes taste delicious. So Belle and I are going to bed last night and my girlfriend's already in bed asleep. And she goes, Mom, you should call and check on JP. I'm like, okay. So I was like, you know, he's at a sleepover with his buddy. They're up. They're still awake playing video games. I should crank call him. Classic, right? I should just classic.
Oh.
I mean, that's what teenagers do, right? They crank call people.
I mean,
so I call my son. It's 11:30 and he answers and he goes, hello. And I went, I'm a demon. And he went, oh, and he hung up. And he literally texted me and said,
Mom.
In all caps, I'm not lying to you. Fuck you. I can't believe you did that to me. I shit my pants. I'm crying in my sleepover. So I had a massive parenting fail. My daughter went, and he texted my daughter and goes, Mom scared the crap out of me. I can't believe, why would you let her do that to me? Yes, you're wiping your face. So I had
you
a massive.
Wow.
That's why I scared.
Wow.
I scared my own kid.
Wow.
He goes, I want to come home now, but not to you.
Oh, shit.
Oh, damn. Take that. Holy cow.
Good Lord.
I know. And so I'm in the bed. I'm laughing. I'm giggling. And
I don't blame you. I'd be laughing my butt off, too.
I know. Kate wakes up and she goes, what's wrong? I said, oh, I just totally had a massive parenting fail. And I told her and she goes, I can't believe you're laughing right now.
Oh, no, that's too good.
That is too funny.
That's
I thought it was hilarious. He did not think it's hilarious. I'm going to be paying penance for this all day today when I go pick him up later.
He's got leverage over you for a while.
I did that too. Well, I scared one of my nieces one time.
Yeah.
And we were playing jacks, whatever, in the foyer of the house. And they had like tile floor, kind of like we have here.
Yeah.
And I was holding in this fart and I couldn't.
Oh, God.
I couldn't hold it in anymore, right? So we're playing jacks. So I told her, you know, pull my finger, right?
Oh, my gosh.
She's about 4 or 5, whatever, right? And it's a high ceiling foyer kind of thing, you know, in the house. So she pulls my finger. I let her rip. But because the ceiling is so high, it echoes. So it's like,
how was that?
You know, just echoed.
Like a gun turret.
It did. She got up and cried and ran to her parents.
Oh, shoot. You know, you live and you learn. I guarantee, though, now my son is cured forever of crank calling. He's never going to ever crank call anybody because I ruined it.
Well, I mean, you know, it is what it is. But, I mean, you know, it's like, come on. He's, what, 15?
No, he's 12.
Oh, 12? Oh, the daughter's 15.
Bella's 15, yeah.
Oh, okay.
But she looked at me when I did it, and she was like, I can't believe you just did that. She looked at me like, she just shook her head, like the church lady look.
It is what it is.
I'm a big kid. I can't freaking help
but
it.
Well, you have to have fun with your kids like that, too, at times. You know, it's like, why not?
You got
to
let him know what's in store for him for a number of years.
Ew.
Exactly.
Oh, my gosh.
You know?
Yeah.
Well, for us, whatever, you know, we went to Karen Volpe's funeral.
Yes, Karen.
And since Gino's, our friend Gino's funeral, I have never seen a church packed so tightly with people to come out and pay homage to this wonderful.
Everybody loved Karen.
Talented lady. We posted Paul's eulogy to her on our Facebook page. And so many tears, but so much laughter as well, you know, and it was just nice to see all of that. And what was really unusual is the church that they held it in. They filmed the Muppets Take Manhattan, the wedding scene in that church. They also filmed a Bill Murray picture in there as well.
Oh, wow.
Which was What About Bob? And of course, Karen's a huge Bill Murray
fan.
One of
my favorite movies.
Okay.
Oh, my gosh.
And then also they filmed Indiana Jones and the Crystal Skull in there when he marries Marion at the end or whatever.
Oh, wow.
Was filmed at that in that church. So it was really, really cool, you know, and we just had a great time with the whole thing. And like I said, I've never seen so many people laugh and cry at the same time, but it was beautifully done. And then Steve and I got to go to the gravesite afterwards. Zach had to leave a little early, right after the services. And then after that, we went to the cantina where she normally did her shows, basically. And good Mexican food there. Wasn't bad.
It wasn't bad. It was good.
The margaritas were pretty good, though, too.
Oh, yes, they
were. Oh, my God. That second one was so strong that you got me, though.
Uh-huh.
Oh, that was imbalanced.
He probably asked for it that way.
It was really imbalanced, though, man.
Come on, dude. It's a wake. Let's
let's wake up. Yeah. So
I remember in the funeral, there were a lot of great moments with the cue cards for the song and just all
that
stuff.
Was hilarious.
The one thing that got me the most, it was really weird, is right at the beginning, everybody started standing up and turned around, and they were wheeling Karen in the coffin. And I'm looking, and you can see everybody was just like, oh, my goodness, you know, what a moment.
That coffin was beautiful.
Yeah. And then, the guy was playing music on the piano, and it was just, like, really cool. And then I was looking, watching, and then suddenly I went, what's he playing? And I heard, and I went, oh my God, he was playing Somewhere That's Green from Little Shop of Horrors. Of course, she played Audrey.
Right.
And I played Audrey too. In Golden West College, and it was like, for me, it was just a moment. I was like, oh my God, that is so cool.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
Beautiful service, but where I lost it. I mean, it was so, Paul, I have to say, he is the strongest man I've ever seen to be able to go through this whole thing and still be able to put a smile on his face and still, you know, laugh and, you know, keep his composure. But when they were taking Karen out after the service was over, and I looked over and I saw Paul, and that was the first, that's when I finally saw him break down, like incredibly. And I started crying.
Yeah.
Because that was just, he did so well just keeping his composure for all this. And then just, at that moment,
the very end.
You don't always have to. You need to.
Yeah.
Oh, Paul, hugs.
Yeah.
We love you, Paul.
Love you, man.
Paul did a beautiful job, though. He really did.
It was great.
And I totally agree with you, Zach. The coffin was just, it was like this.
It was rose. Like a
rose pinkish kind of thing. But classy looking, though. Yeah. You know, it was beautiful. It was just really, really beautiful. So, anyway. Well, our guest is here. So let's go ahead and play one of Babo's songs here. I think this one is called Heart Like Mine. And then we'll take a listen to this. And we'll get Bob in the room.
Show to show.
right, there you go, guys. Heart Like Mine by Bob O'Brien. Well, Burns, rather, sorry. Today's guest grew up in Massachusetts and found his way to becoming an award-winning singer-songwriter, including Best Country Americana Band and Best Live Acoustic Band. Since 2018, he's performed over 300 shows across the U.S. and Europe and has no signs of slowing down. So please welcome to the show, Bob O'Brien. How are you, sir?
Hey, pretty good. Thanks for having me.
Absolutely. Welcome. It's funny because you and I have so many friends in common. I was counting them, like, over, I think it's like over like 24 or 30
something
friends,
like that,
or whatever. It's so funny. And yet, this is the first time we've met face to face.
First time we've met face to face.
Yeah.
We were just talking. We have mutual friends here. I used to play hockey with her husband.
Yeah. Neil. Yeah. And I'm like, it was like, I was going to ask about that too. And then we were talking about it before she came in and everything.
The circles keep getting smaller and smaller.
It is. It's like 6 degrees of Bobo, you know? So it's a whole lot of fun. Bob, first of all, I want to start from the beginning for you. A kid from Massachusetts and everything. What brought you to L.A. versus New York as far as music is concerned?
A couple things. It still snows in New York.
Okay.
Yeah.
There you go.
We kind of got tired of shoveling snow.
Is that what it was, really?
That was part of it. My wife had come out to California and worked for a month in January, and I came out to visit. And we were like, why are we putting up with New England winters when we could live here?
Yeah.
And so, yeah, we made the move. We drove until we ran out of land.
Nice.
Yeah.
Very cool. What led you down to the path, though, as far as being a musician? Because you actually wanted to go into hockey and be a...
I did want to be a hockey goalie.
Yeah.
I was still a hockey goalie up until just a couple of years ago. But I lack the height.
I don't know. That's not that tall, so I think it would be perfect for it, though.
I'm almost 5'8".
So...
There's a whole thing that can go into, I wanted to be a hockey goalie, but my hockey career ended on that trajectory in high school.
Okay.
And when, this is going to be, trust me, this will get there.
All right, sit back, relax.
I was a stand-up goalie.
Okay.
And stand-up goalies were a thing of the 70s and 80s.
Right.
And towards the end of the 80s, it became butterfly style and much taller goalies.
Okay.
And I couldn't adapt.
Oh, okay.
And I was stuck in an older mindset.
Mm-hmm.
And I took that learning of not being able to adapt and put it into more of my regular life and being able to adapt to other things.
Interesting. So
that I didn't ever want to be a dinosaur again.
Makes sense. I like that.
Yeah.
Now, I'm trying to picture a butterfly goalie.
Butterfly style.
They just kind of like splay out.
They spread their legs down.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. I see what you're saying.
So.
Yeah, those guys are huge.
Yeah.
And then you get them on skates.
It's so huge.
The thing is, they drop down to the knees and they could take away the whole bottom of the net and they still cover a lot of the top. I'm almost 5'8". I drop down to my knees, the whole top of the net opens up.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's like me playing soccer. I got in college and I was like, yeah, 5 foot's not going to work against these 5'8 chicks.
That's twice the leg.
Oh, and they hit me and I go flying. So I guess, you know what I mean? Whoo.
Well, I think that's you in any other sport, really.
Hey, me in golf.
Yeah.
Just me and the ball.
But it's a strange thing.
And the windmill.
Yeah. It's a strange thing having played hockey for so long in my life. I was on skates from before my third birthday.
Oh, wow.
And I skated for over 40 years. I was a goalie, so... I got hit by a bus a few years ago in Huntington Beach while riding a bicycle.
Oh, no.
And that sort of ended my goaltending playing.
Oh, wow.
So my knee can't do it anymore.
So how did you get from that, though, to playing music?
Well, it doesn't seem like that far of a stretch to me, but music was always the thing in my life. Mm-hmm. You know, I grew up listening to music and being athletic.
Mm-hmm.
It sort of made me an outcast on the hockey team. So I played hockey all those years and had very few friends on the hockey team because they're like, what are you wearing your pink, yellow, and blue Converse All-Stars for in the locker room? You got a lot of balls to wear those in here. Like, it's just sneakers, but it's
best
a dividing line.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's a dividing line in those worlds. And I just always loved music and, you know, things like the Irish Rovers, Jim Croce, and, you know, the classic storytellers of the early 70s, I fell in love with that stuff. And then the Replacements and the Clash.
Were your parents heavily involved in music, though? Or
my mom plays piano, but
okay.
But she will say that she doesn't play well. I think she plays pretty decent.
Mm-hmm.
But that's how I got into piano tuning.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
I can use you. My mom's piano needs really tuning really, really badly.
Most everyone's piano needs to be tuned.
Oh, my gosh, yeah.
Yeah, I know mine does.
Oh, dear.
Yeah, but that's on a weekly basis for you.
Oh, you meant a piano.
Actual piano, yes. This was not a euphemism.
No. Okay. Got it.
Oh, Steve.
Yes, Steve.
We all. It's a constant with him. Everything, he can make anything a dirty joke.
It's a talent.
It is definitely a talent.
It's a gift is what it is. Right. That keeps on giving.
Yeah, give me a word, I'll make it.
For us, it's a curse.
Yeah. So with that about you, you come out here and everything. The most of your stuff though is kind of in that Americana vein.
Yes.
Overall, was that a decisive choice or just a natural thing that progressed for you?
That's probably the only natural thing that came out of me musically, because I just always like acoustic guitars. I like, you know, a little bit of a rocking guitar behind it, and you know, when I used to play the same style of music, you know, when I was younger, and I'd wear jeans and a t-shirt, people would say, oh, you sound kind of like, you know, Soul Asylum with the Replacements. I put on a Western shirt and everybody's like, oh, you kind of sound Americana and country. The music didn't actually change. The sound of it didn't really change.
Right.
So
the clothes didn't.
The clothes changed, and that changed the visual and how people heard it.
That's funny.
So you took off the sneakers and became country.
Yeah. I can't wear cowboy boots. Still got the Doc Martens on. The punk rock still sticks through.
There you go. So with that and everything, what is your approach then when it's time to sit down and you say, okay, I'm going to write, you know, some songs, whatever. What is your approach? Is it lyrics first? Is it melody first? Is it, do you come up with the chords or anything like that? Or
usually I'm be strumming a guitar and something will just sort of spark.
Pop in?
Yeah.
Okay.
And just sort of grows from there. There's all sorts of different processes because, you know, I write a lot with my wife because my wife's a singer-songwriter as well and plays bass. And we just finished a project where we wrote a song about every episode of the TV show Firefly.
That's very cool on sci-fi. Yeah.
Yeah.
I saw bits and pieces of it. My kids love that.
That show is amazing and incredibly lyrical in its dialogue. So we would take bits of dialogue and turn it into songs. And within the Whedon sci-fi universe of like Buffy the Vampire Slayer, Angel, and Firefly, almost everyone involved in those shows now knows about our music.
Because that's awesome.
Yeah, we've played WhedonCon, we've played WonderCon, we've busked outside of what's it called? What's the big one down in San Diego? Comic-Con.
Oh, Comic-Con, yeah.
One of the writers from the show came up and heard us playing, and you know, he buys one of all of our CDs, and we've got like 7 or 8 CDs out. And I'm going to give him $5 change back. And he goes, no, it's okay. I have crazy TV money.
Oh, that's nice.
I'm like, best response ever. So, but that he was
can
one of the writers.
Give you some more of it then, sir?
Yeah. Check the other pocket.
But there's no wrong way to write a song. It works all kinds of different ways. I was trying to write a song. My buddy Danny had mentioned there was somebody at one of his shows, and he referred to her as a barstool queen. And said, oh, you know, she's a barstool queen. I was like, oh, there's a song there.
Yeah, oh, yeah.
And I hear it. And I kept trying to write it, and every time I wrote it, it came out just mean. And oh, not intentionally mean, but just like, it came out very condescending, and it's like, I don't want to sing this song. And I was talking to my buddy Chuck Roberts, who lives out in Victorville, and I was like, I got this song, and it's messing me up. And I played him the first verse, and he said, did you say barstool queen or barstow queen? And I'm like, oh, Barstow Queen. And then we had a song.
Then it can be condescending.
Well, well played.
I'm joking, Barstow. Oh, yeah. Calm down.
We're
going
to get calls on that one.
She actually meant Victorville. So anyway.
I call Hesperia, Disparia. I would just like to say that on the air.
Go ahead, say it.
Disparia.
There you go. You know, it is interesting on how a song will develop, you know, whether you wrote it, you go put it away, you go, geez, I can't think of anything to do with it. It's kind of, 5 years later, you go, oh
there's a song there.
I can do this and that or whatever when you can do a rewrite or something or a different title.
And there's no rules.
No, yeah. I mean, that's the nice thing about it overall. You can do anything you want, especially as an independent artist. You know, how many albums do you have out now between, because you got a couple of different groups going on too.
I think I have 4 or 5 with the Fallen Stars. I have 2 with another band called Riddle and the Stars, which is the Fallen Stars of my buddy Ben Riddle. I've done 3 solo albums in the past 3 years. And we have the Firefly album. Nice. So I lost count.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. I was told there'd be no math.
You can never have enough. You can, you know, just get creative, do your thing, put it out there.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. You know, and that's the nice thing about being independent. Recently, you got to do a couple of tours, a European tour and a East Coast tour.
Yep.
And I was really admiring you on that because you almost did this on a shoestring type budget, it seemed. Talk about that and what you had to go through to get this tour started.
Okay. Well, the Germany, I've been going there for past seven years. I've been going at least a month, sometimes usually 2 months while I'm over there. It started off just going on a vacation and having a couple of shows in like 2010. And, you know, then the next year, go back, do a few more shows. And then a touring agency called Songs and Whispers was like, we'd like to help you out. And so they book a bunch of shows. I book a bunch of shows now. And it just sort of keeps growing. And in a nice way that it would be nice if that would happen closer to home.
Yeah.
Yeah. That he didn't have to get on a plane.
And travel halfway around the world.
Exactly. I mean, at this point, I have instruments scattered around Europe. I have guitars in Austria, in Germany, mandolins, everything, amps. And so I can just go back there and pick stuff up. And, you know, it's nice because Songs Whispers has helped me get a lot of shows and venues, and they do some promo for me. But that has built into me booking other shows myself and just word of mouth.
How are those shows different? Because, I mean, obviously there's somewhat of a language barrier there. So do you do and speak in English in the same way? Or
mein Deutsch nicht sehr gut.
Okay.
Yeah. My German's not very good.
I was going to ask.
Yeah.
Like, I can say beer.
Yeah, it's funny. It's beer.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
Thanks, Steve.
The German we learned in high school doesn't really help.
Yeah, my daughter's learning German right now, and she's obsessed. So take her with you. She'll be your assistant.
Okay. Use Babbel. It's easier.
Oh, that's smart. Yeah, yeah. Babbel.
There's a free promo for Wow.
Babbel. When you want to babble in another language.
Yeah. There you go.
Most people there do speak English.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there's some places where it's a little bit more of a challenge.
Denser, yeah.
And you learn, you know, there's the different dialects of America. Like when you're down south, obviously the English gets much slower. And the Northeast has its own thing.
Right.
And I'm at the point now where I can hear the different dialects in Germany.
Oh, wow.
So like Bavaria has its own thing, and the south west of Germany has its own thing. And then the north is, you know, where the true German language.
Oh, yeah.
It's like, they call it the High German.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And so they're a little bit easier to understand than the folks down south still. It still works out that
thing.
Way.
It's a thing.
Wow. So people down south, no matter what country you're in.
That's sort of true as well.
It's unfortunate, isn't it?
But you learn that songs that you have that have lots of words, you just get a glazed response because it's just too much. It's too fast. And songs that you have that have a slower cadence and more articulate word phrasing gets a better response.
How was the first response, though, for you? I mean, were you able to get a initial reaction right away that they liked it? Or was it just more of like, oh, hey, that's great, you know, kind of thing?
No, just they are very open to new things. And, you know, my wife and I, we started off going over there as the Fallen Stars, and now I do it as solo. And, you know, we'd play for like 3 hours, get a bunch of encores, and you just say, you know, what else do you want to hear? And they'd say, more of your stuff. You know, whereas other places, you know, be like, play some Skidded or whatever it is.
Freebird!
Yeah. But they just want, they're like, we could hear covers on the radio. We can hear those songs on the radio.
Right.
Why would we go out and want to hear
a cover?
Yeah. And it's just a different mindset altogether.
Yeah. That's one thing I do like about Europe. It's totally different. The East Coast tour that you just recently did, too. How did that start for you and everything? Because, again, shoestring budget. How did you put all that together?
I did a lot of it with my buddy, Sonny Moan. Sonny was the singer in Crazy Horse when Neil Young wasn't. And so we had kind of arranged a few shows together and a few separate. And, you know, he's from Massachusetts. I'm from Massachusetts. It's, you know, we have still plenty of friends there, so it's not that difficult to put together shows. As far as shoestring, I stayed at my mom's house.
Oh, easy.
Yeah.
So kept it real easy then. Yeah. Yeah.
Wait, you want to sleep over in Connecticut? No, I'll just drive back to Massachusetts. I'm fine. It's not that far.
And again, how was the response to this? Or were these places that you had been to before?
Some of them I had been to before, but we actually did some new places that I'd never done. Mm-hmm. And there's a place in Milford, New Hampshire called Zingers. I've played Milford, New Hampshire for years. Mm-hmm. This is the best venue I've ever played in New Hampshire. Like a total listening room, no TVs on with the football game.
Oh, that must be nice.
Yeah. And, you know, there was, towards the middle of my set, I unplugged and stood down in the middle of the audience and just played completely acoustic.
Oh, wow.
And to a silent room. Mm-hmm. And that's just unheard of here.
Oh, especially here in LA. Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Unless you're doing a house concert. I will say, last night I opened for David Lindley at the Coach House.
How was that show?
Amazing. There was a couple hundred people there and just completely silent the whole time I was playing.
That's nice.
Yeah. Like, I got off the mic one time there and everyone could hear me.
Yeah. The Coach House is really cool, I think, for those acoustic things, because that's, again, it's nice because it's intimate, because everybody's seated down, mm-hmm. so you don't have to worry about anything, you know, of being interrupted or anything like that. I love that venue. It's a great venue to play at. So, now, you got a couple other dates coming up, too, right?
I'm playing tonight the Outlaws of Folk series, Michael Ubaldini's Outlaws of Folk.
Okay.
And we're playing Chad's Barbershop in Santa Ana. I have not been there before, but I hear it's great, actually.
Really?
Chad's Barbershop. You're going to get a little cut while you're going, you know? A little trim, a little freshen
you could,
up.
Cut a little off the top there?
Yeah. A little off the top. There you go.
I'll see my hit when you just take a little off the... Right
just
there,
a little off
right
the top.
There. Yeah.
That'd be interesting to hear, you know, have a little... Like, so you say you just like, I'll hear snip, snip,
yeah.
snip, snip.
Straight back insides?
Yeah.
There you go. There you go. So, with this and everything, with these two different tours and everything like that, I take it you're taking merch with you, you know, your CDs,
oh, yeah.
and shirts and so forth, whatever. Are you breaking even on these type of tours, or are you making somewhat of a profit on this?
When I went back to Massachusetts, I made a profit. Mm-hmm. So I came back with, I think, about $1,000 in the off of that. And when I went to Europe this year, I have been making profits in Europe. But this year was not so good.
Right. We briefly talked about that. Yeah.
I got robbed. So I got about $7,000 worth of stuff stolen out of the car.
Yeah.
And, you know, including like all my merch and everything. So I had to order more merch while I was there.
Mm-hmm. So also you have a new album out.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
And that one, what's the title of that one?
The Red Wheelbarrow.
Okay. And what inspired some of the songs for this album?
Well, it started off being kind of rocking because I was in Nashville and I had gotten an email about a year and a half, maybe 2 years ago, from a guy named Ken Coomer. Mm-hmm. And the email said, "Hey, my name's Ken. I used to be the drummer in Wilco and Uncle Tupelo. I got your CD. Next time you're in Nashville, we'll have to work together." So I was like, "Yeah, I know who you are, Ken. You don't have to introduce yourself. I've been listening since you were in, you know, Clockhammer, which was his high school band." Mm-hmm. So we just sort of hit it off that way, and I knew I was going to Nashville, so we booked some time, and I'm like, I want to do some rocking stuff with Ken. And so it started off just rocking.
Nice.
Yeah. And while we were there, you know, we were talking about music that we love, and I mentioned loving Roxy Music. He's like, oh, I love Roxy Music. So we did a Roxy Music cover. Mm-hmm. It just, everything was sort of naturally whatever felt right at the time.
Nice. Very cool. You've been so independent and everything for a number of years, you know, and that's one thing I admire about you.
Thank you.
It's so funny because I see so many people out there say how rough it is.
It is.
You know, that you can't do it. You know, it's and you can't make a profit out there, but yet you are doing it. You know, it's probably a low profit, but yet you're still doing it.
I am, but... There's a lot other things going on. I don't just do this. Mm-hmm. I have, you know, a mobile recording studio mm-hmm. that I bring with me, and I can record wherever I am. I'm going to a session after this podcast today.
Right.
I've done recordings in a field in the UK mm-hmm. and in Germany in a hotel room in Berlin. And I also tune pianos. And I also have a wife who makes good money. Mm-hmm. And that's a big part of how I survive right there.
No, you have to get crafty. Because I lived in Nashville for years. I went to school at Dalmont. And you there, it's the cost of living. You can get away with a little more.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Because I had friends who like rented houses together, and they were all musicians or artists or, you know. And you move out here, and it's like, holy crap. It's insane. You know, the cost of living in Southern California, just trying to survive. You have to become a master of everything.
Yeah.
You know, a jack of all trades. And you have to, like, just put your feet in every, you know, every pot you can.
When you're going on tour, you got to make sure you have enough gas to get to Quartzsite so you can get the cheaper gas.
There you go.
Yeah. And that's one thing that cracks me up with other people, because they say it's hard. Well, it's work. Of course it's work. You know, this is your job. Yeah. It's your career, you know. What part of it didn't you understand, you know, and that this whole thing is work overall, you know. And
there is the misnomer that people think, you know, from the Joe Walsh song, you know, you just party all day, you know.
Steve.
Yeah. Why do we point to Steve?
Wait, you mean you don't?
Not Joe Walsh. What's the other one? Taking Care of Business. That's the one I meant.
Oh, okay.
I don't have to work
Turner Overdrive.
Yeah, Bachman Turner.
Kathleen Turner Overdrive.
Oh, my God.
But no, it's true. And that's one thing, is that you put so much work into this, you know, along with your wife, Tracy, too, as well, you know. But and I see it constantly with other people, you know, that it is work. You have to put the work into it. To go out and do the things that you do, you have to plan. The fact that you're doing it proves that it can be done.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's just a matter of, you got to put the time, you got to put the work into it.
Yeah.
You know, to go out there and do it.
I tell you, it is easier to book shows in Europe than it is in the United States.
Really?
Yeah.
How so?
Well, for one thing, they book them a lot further in advance.
Mm-hmm.
And they pay me more money.
Really?
Yeah. So I'm trying to book a tour up the West Coast right now in April. And, you know, venues are getting back to me. They're like, oh, yeah, you can rent our venue for $200 a night. Then it's $40 for the door guy and this. I'm like, wait, that's not, what, huh?
Right.
That's not booking me for a show. That's me renting your space and paying everyone. And that's much harder than, you know, we want you to come in, here's 300 euro.
Wow. Oh, wow.
Yeah, that's... That's better.
Yeah.
Much better.
Yeah.
So when are you moving?
I've gotten that a few times. No.
Like, I hear too much.
No.
Plus, there's snow in Germany, too. So,
there is snow in Germany, and I would gain a lot of weight eating doner kebab.
Oh, gosh.
Yeah. It is good.
Oh, everybody likes doner kebab.
It is good. Yes, it is.
And, of course, there's beer.
Und beer.
Yeah.
What other countries have you had a chance to perform in tour in Europe?
UK, Netherlands, Belgium, Austria, Germany, Czech Republic. I think I played in France. That's it, I think.
Okay.
Yep.
Did you say
Italy once as well?
Did you say you thought you played in France?
Or? Yeah.
You don't remember France?
He must have had a good time then.
No. I remember France. I just don't remember if I had a show there.
You were in France.
I was in France.
Mm. Well, at least you were in France.
Yeah. So, but France is interesting as well, because they're a little bit, it's a tougher nut to crack as well. Because a lot of things happened in my experience, you know, post World War II, where Germany was devoid of a lot of culture.
Right.
Well, they'll just say that the nice way there.
Uh-huh.
And they're very open to whatever people say is art. So if people say this barley in a field growing is art because it shows that hope can grow where, or whatever. Uh-huh. And the Germans will get on board. They'll be like, yes, this is art. But if you go to France and you go, this painting is art, they're like, that's nothing.
Yeah.
Wow.
It can be a little bit harsher critic.
I've seen it better.
I've seen better, yeah.
Yeah.
You call that art.
It's,
yeah, like, that is not part of
the... And not that the French are not open, because I've had lovely experiences there, but they just... Germans are much more open. To... If you say what you're doing is art, they're like, they're on board.
Yeah. Where France is like, no, man, this is not art, this is nothing. Here, give the baby a cigarette, that is art there.
It's a tougher nut to crack.
Yeah, it is. Awesome, man. Awesome. When you go into the studio, though, what is your recording process, though, for you? Because I know for a lot of people, it's a little bit different.
my process is to record a scratch guitar and scratch vocal to a click track. Then I record drums.
Okay.
And then I put, then I get rid of the scratch guitar and the scratch vocal and put new guitar on top of it.
Right.
And then just start, keep building from there.
And is it mostly you playing, or do you bring other friends and guests?
Oh, I bring tons of people in.
Okay.
Yeah. I've done full solo albums, and it just sounds like one guy in a room to me.
Okay.
So it, when you get different heartbeats playing on it, it rhythm becomes different.
Kind of gels a little bit better.
Yeah. So I have drums.
Mm-hmm.
I've played drums on exactly one song on any of my albums, and that was just because drummers couldn't show up and I needed to get it done.
I know the feeling.
Yeah. Drummers.
What kind of drum kit do you have?
Bad reputation.
I have a Mapex kit, and I have a full Zildjian K cymbals.
Okay.
Because I've become a cymbal snob as well.
Oh, God.
Drummers will come in and like, I'm like, no, we're not using those cymbals. I don't want to listen to those.
Here, I bought better ones.
Yeah, yeah. I did.
These are the black ones.
Yeah. So, I'll do that stuff. My wife sings and plays bass.
Uh-huh.
So, she plays bass on all of my stuff. My buddy Rami Jaffe, who's the B3 player from the Wallflowers and now is in the Foo Fighters,
mm-hmm.
he's played on a bunch of my albums. Danny Ott. Do you know Danny?
I know Danny, yeah.
He's one of my best friends. He's probably one of the best guitar players in the world.
He's really good, yeah.
Yeah. And he's played on most of my albums as well. Phil Manzanera from Roxy Music played on my last album.
Nice.
So just all kinds of weird things. And the world is small.
It is.
And it keeps just getting smaller. So, yeah.
Steve's face when that.
Yeah. I mean,
we talked about
true.
That earlier.
It really is. People, yeah. It's crazy when you get the connections that happen, you know?
Yeah.
It's just like, I started dating my girlfriend. She comes down from L.A. and she meets one of my friends. And they're like, oh, we went to high school and junior high together. And they... But there's so many things that happen like that, right?
Yeah. And you're like, Kay.
Yeah. And then he's coming yeah. in, and I'm like, oh, Phil. You know, it's, you know, my...
Yeah.
It's just, it's nuts. Everybody's connected somehow.
I did a show in Massachusetts, just, and a guy came up to me after the show, and he says, you know, we're sort of related. And I was like, eh, probably.
And what was that?
Turns out his sister is my aunt.
And, wait a minute, wouldn't that make him your uncle?
No, he's my sister's brother. Anyway, yeah.
Yeah.
But twice removed. So.
Twice removed.
We digress.
Yeah. I have a buddy, Roman, in Austria that I've been visiting him for like the past decade or so.
Uh-huh.
And I was at a UPS shop in Huntington Beach that I would go to regularly, and I would talk to the guy there about guitars and stuff. And one day I was in there, and he goes, do you know a guy named Roman in Austria? I'm like,
well,
yeah, why? And he said, well, he was helping me online about a pickup thing I wanted to put on a Telecaster guitar. And he said, oh, you're in Huntington Beach. Do you know Bobo? And he's like, yeah, I know Bobo. So, yeah.
Random.
It just,
well,
yeah.
You think that small? His son's named Roman.
Oh, my gosh.
There it is.
There
whoa.
Go.
There's not that many guys named Roman.
Yeah, no.
Yeah.
Yeah, my son was named after my best friend in high school.
Oh, very nice.
So, yeah. Cool, man. Well, I just want to say thanks for coming in, first of all.
Thanks
I know
for having me.
We got to get you going. We want to play a game with you. That's something that we do with everybody. So, basically, Bobo, you are finally retired. Finally, after all this time. Traveling to Europe.
Hypothetically speaking.
Finally retired.
Okay.
You're going to go live on a deserted island for the rest of your life.
You're going to die there.
Jeez, Zach. That went dark.
So morbid, dude.
We're all going to die on a island. Yeah. It just depends on which continent it is.
You could only take one candy bar with you. What would it be?
Mounds.
Ooh.
Didn't even think about that one.
What about, you need to have that little bit of protein in the almond joy. You know, that little bit of...
Oh, that's
sometimes
a good
you
point.
Feel like a nut. Sometimes you don't.
Yeah.
You know, hey.
Yeah. Oh, wait, no. I changed my mind.
Oh,
see, thanks. Yeah.
I like to see this. When I play this game, I'm very, like, logical. I'm like, how am I going to survive?
It'd definitely be Ritter Sport, the one with the cornflakes in it.
Oh, those are good.
Yeah.
The big square ones. The square. They're like the big...
The square ones.
Yeah.
Wait, there's a candy bar with cornflakes in it?
It's crisps. Like Rice Krispies.
They have everything. They have all kinds of different flavors.
And they're called Ritter Sport because they were designed to fit in your sports coat.
Oh, wow.
See, I thought they were like for running for like marathons. I'm like, I'm running. I need something.
You always learn something on this show.
Very true. The more you know. Yep. You could take one album with you, Bobo.
What Clash Sandinista.
Oh.
Ooh. Gotta look that one up. All right. You could take one movie.
Take one movie? Joe versus the Volcano.
Really? I just downloaded that one the other day. So
it's a Meg fantastic
Ryan
movie,
so
except for the last like
one.
2 minutes.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
She was so cute and dainty in that one. She was like, oh. Before she had all that crazy surgery. Okay, anyways, I digress.
You know, the first character that she does in that movie, she said she modeled after her dog.
Wow.
Yeah.
That movie is fantastic.
I like her method. I'm just going to do that when I go to acting. It's like, I am portraying my dog today.
Yep. Everything is wide-eyed wonder. You did?
She is. She's so, like, girly and just, yeah, innocent in that movie. Okay. Anyways.
All right.
Okay.
Let's see. You could take one type of food with you.
Caesar salad.
Wow.
Chicken Caesar salad.
Oh, yeah.
Got to get the protein in there.
Uh-huh.
With the cilantro Caesar dressing.
Oh, from Trader Joe's.
Yep, you're with me. Okay. Or Acapulco's.
And then you add the avocado cilantro Caesar dressing, and then you got the avocado fat. You got to get logical with this.
Yes.
You got to survive. Sorry.
It's the Amber Show.
I know. Yeah.
Look at that. Live
sorry,
on steak.
I'm sorry.
Yeah. Well, we have people say steak or whatever, you know, or I mean, it's for myself. I love sushi because you get everything all together there.
That's true.
So.
That's true.
Then you can go even wider and just go Asian food. Then that really covers everything.
Yeah. That's too much. That's too broad.
I've been doing the low carb has been helping me, so the Caesar salad's been my go-to.
There you go. You can take one person for conversation's sake. Cannot be your spouse.
Cannot be my spouse.
Cannot be your spouse. Could be dead or alive. And, of course, if they're dead, they'd be, you know, alive in their prime.
That'd be my best friend, Jeff, who passed away in 99.
Okay.
Yep, I'd take him.
Cool. You can take one person for sexual gratification. Again, cannot be your spouse.
Cannot be my spouse.
Oh. Tracy, listen up.
This is a hard game. You guys did this one to me when I started.
Kerry Russell?
All right.
Oh, that's a good choice. Well, she'd make interesting conversation, too, but she's cute. You know, it's like you get everything in
one. Wait, no, Kristen Bell.
Oh.
Ooh.
She's funnier.
She is funnier. My girlfriend and I were just having conversations about her eyes the other day and how maybe they're just a little bit too inset. Again, sorry. I know.
The too inset?
Her eyes are very inset into her skull.
This is when you really have to find something of a problem with somebody.
That's like shallow howl.
I know, no kidding.
But she has beautiful blue eyes, so it's like...
But they're too inset, though. I can't see them.
They're very inset. But then again, she's funny, so that kind of, it's like...
She's funny and very talented, too.
She is very, and so is Dax. Dax Shepard, her husband.
Dax is hysterical.
Take Dax, too.
Yeah.
You know, just, maybe you'll get bored. Maybe you'll be like, I'm curious. No? Okay.
No, I like that. No? Okay, all right, I'm done.
You're on an island. What the hell?
Yeah.
Exactly.
See? There you go. Good job.
Who's going to complain?
Oh, my gosh. If there was one thing when you were younger, or anything in your life, what would you go back and change, or what would you go back and redo?
I would tell myself to not give a shit as much. And in the words of Jack Kerouac, I would tell more people that deserved it to fuck off.
Amen.
Yes.
There you go.
Yep.
Nice. I like it. I like it.
Absolutely.
I know Steve's getting into that habit now more times than not.
It's becoming a problem.
To a degree. Yes, it is. Yeah, it is. Well, cool. Well, listen, but I know you've got to get going because you got a studio thing to go to your thing. Next time, we want to get you back in the room again and play a couple of tunes next time, though.
Sounds cool.
We'll Facebook Live it for you. Again, you got a couple of shows coming up. Go ahead and hit those off.
Tonight at Santa Ana at Chad's Barbershop, it's Michael Ubaldini's Outlaws of Folk series with Michael and Feder and Lisa. And Tuesday night, I'm doing the Songs Alive songwriter series at Sam Ash in Westminster.
Oh, I love doing those. Those are fun.
Those are fun. Rodney's a great guy.
Yes, he is.
And beyond that, I don't remember.
25th, you'll be at the Beach Hut in Delhi in Huntington Beach. And come February 15th, you're at Bogart's Coffee in Seal Beach. Oh, I love that place.
That's a neat little place.
It is. I've been there a couple of times for their open mics and stuff. Those are cool. So definitely check those dates out. If not, just go ahead and go to Bobble's website, which is thefallenstars.com. And then just click on his name there. And
if you just look up Bobbo, B-O-B-B-O, and just music, I'm the only Bobbo in the world, really.
Cool. Bobbo, thank you again for coming in. Really appreciate it, bud.
We'll see you very soon.
Absolutely. So, get his new record. Was it Red Wagon?
The Red Wheelbarrow.
Red Wheelbarrow. There you go. And I know it was Red something. Close enough.
Looks like this one right here.
Oh, that's awesome.
Oh, cool.
Very cool. Is there a meaning behind that? Or
yeah, it's the poem by W.C. Williams.
See, I need to educate myself, man. Okay. I've been doing this podcast for 3 years.
I can do it very quickly for you because it's a 16-word poem.
Yes.
Okay.
The whole poem is, so much depends upon a red wheelbarrow glazed with rainwater beside the white chickens. And the idea behind it is, until the poet said that existed, it didn't exist. Like, you can picture the scene now in your head, right?
Okay.
But it took the poet to actually write the words for you to have the picture. And that is all art.
That.
All art is dependent upon the actual doing of it.
All right, Bob, once again, thanks for coming in, man. We really appreciate it. So, and definitely catch his shows tonight, tomorrow, and again,
Tuesday,
it's the Sam Ash coming
in. I'm sleeping tomorrow.
He's sleeping tomorrow. But if you want to see him sleep, he'll be there for you. So just go over and knock on the door. He'll open it up.
Bring bacon and eggs.
Oh, bacon. I love bacon. Yeah. That's in honor of Elvis's birthday. So there you go.
Thank you.
All right, we'll catch up, man. All
right.
It was very, very Nick Offerman.
We'll catch up.
In Parks and Rec, yeah, the bacon and eggs, I love it.
Yeah.
We have to stay here.
Yeah.
Bring breakfast meat and dozens of eggs.
I fear you didn't hear what I said. I said bring all the bacon and eggs.
All the bacon and eggs,
exactly.
Hey, wait a minute. Didn't he only have one guitar when he walked in? He's got three now. You better check that out.
See, that would work is, I know he's a Gibson snob, so my Takamine needs are safe.
Yeah,
it's okay. Oh, my gosh. Well,
we got to go to some of these shows.
Yeah. Speaking of Elvis's birthday.
Elvis.
Yeah, the 8th of January was his birthday. He would have been 85.
If he hadn't have taken a crap.
Just and a bunch of other things, too.
Stayed
well,
out of the
yes,
toilet.
But mainly.
A bunch of other things, you know. Yeah.
His whole body just emptied right out into that toilet.
No, it didn't. That was the problem. It didn't.
It backed him up.
He bageled down too hard. The heart went kaputi.
But they did a celebration over there in Graceland. And I think we got something from Priscilla, right, on it?
So, 85th birthday is such a huge milestone. What is it like seeing everybody out here this morning?
It's a beautiful sight. It truly is. I mean, every year I'm amazed at how many people show up. And these are, as you saw earlier, other countries as well. And I always think that Elvis would never, ever believe that this is still happening. And this is his 85th birthday when he thought, you know, he was going to be an old-timer by this time and no one would be interested. So I think for all of us who knew him, it's always a pleasure to see all these people come and celebrate.
And you touched on it there, too, but what if, you know, if Elvis were still alive today, seeing this crowd, what do you think would mean to him?
He wouldn't believe it. I mean, you know, Elvis always appreciated his fans very, very much, truly, and had it was like a personal relationship with them. When he would come out at the gate, he would always talk to them, always, you know, ask what music they were listening to, just to keep on top of everything. So, you know, I think about that a lot, about how much love that there is for him still, not just here, but all over the world. I've been traveling, and gosh, it's very emotional for me when I see it.
And you touched on it there too, but what are the emotions like for you, you know?
Wishing he was here, wishing he could see this, wishing that he was a part of it, wishing, you know, that he was here at home, which, you know, we all know he loved very, very much. So it's still, you know, it's surreal in many ways, and it's... It's a good feeling and a bad feeling. It's mixed emotions, but mostly it's good because he's still loved.
So anything else that you support and touch or you wanted to add this morning?
No, I think this is good. We're here for his birthday and a big celebration.
Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Still looking a little bit like Joan Rivers there.
She looks fantastic for her age.
She still looks hot.
She's gotten a lot of work done. She takes really good care of herself, but she still looks like Priscilla.
Yeah, exactly.
I know this... This is not where the conversation was going, but...
You took it there.
Well, no, you guys did, too. She was just... She's just still so striking.
Yeah.
Seeing her...
Oh, no,
like,
she's a beautiful woman. Absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely. So we kind of did a round robin here to find out, you know, what our favorite Elvis songs were, or are, actually, you know. We're going to skip Steve, because Steve can't stand the man.
Oh, come on.
But he does...
Now,
but he does... enjoy his movies.
I did kind of like the song Down in the Ghetto.
Oh, that's good.
Or In the Ghetto.
In the ghetto.
Can you pull that one up?
So, yeah, I can't say that I don't absolutely hate anything.
Yeah, I get
yeah,
you.
Yeah. Yeah, so. But you were using it.
Well, we talked about the reason and stuff. Yeah. And, yeah, so
which I understand and yeah. respect. And you were talking about, let's talk about that real quick. Is okay. that they called him the king of rock and roll. And basically, and it was criticized or whatever for some time that, oh God.
As the snow flies.
Love this song. Do you know who wrote this?
Bobo?
On a
no.
cold and Chicago morning, a poor little
good.
Baby child is born in the ghetto.
In the ghetto.
Mac Davis wrote this.
Mac Davis.
And his mama cries. Cause if there's one thing she don't need is another hungry mouth to feed in the ghetto.
In the ghetto.
Now people, don't you understand? Child needs a helping hand. He'll grow to be an angry young man someday. Take a look at you and me. Are we too blind to see? Do we simply turn our heads and look the other way? Well, the world turns.
Great song. But your biggest thing though was. That they call him the king of rock and roll when actually it was just a white guy taking black man's music.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And you had people like Chuck Berry, mm-hmm. Fats Domino, you know, mm-hmm. who I think were more or less the forefathers of it.
Right.
You know, and
right.
I agree with you on that, you know.
It just didn't set well with me. It just,
right.
just seemed like, you know.
Damn Southerner.
Yeah. more of the white man privilege.
Pretty white dude, you know.
Yeah,
and he wasn't like some incredible guitar player either. He didn't have some crazy nuts talent, you know. He wasn't.
He could move his leg really well.
Well,
he learned that from Forrest Gump.
Home. exactly.
But
love that.
The thing I give Elvis credit for, because I'll be honest, I'm not a huge Elvis fan, and there's a few of his movies that I like.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm more of a fan of his vocal performance after the 68 comeback special.
Hmm.
Anything he did after that, his vocal performance was like, wow. You know, I mean, like In the Ghetto. That's, mm-hmm. you know, one of them. And the album that came after that, it has Kentucky Rain, In the Ghetto, Suspicious Minds on it, you know. And I think that's where he elevated himself, I think, truly to a vocalist. Than just, you know, because he got tired of all the movie stuff for a while, you know, and everything, what have you. But he just really elevated his vocal performances mm-hmm. in that. What's your favorite song from his?
I mean,
Amber?
I just like All Shook Up. I think it's fun. It's just, oh.
Is that early stuff, yeah.
Uh-huh, yeah.
Well, bless my soul, what's wrong with me?
Get up and dance.
Get up.
Turn it up. She'll do it.
My friends say I'm acting.
Oh, she's twisted.
A bug. I'm in love. Ooh. I'm all shook up.
Ooh. Oh, she can actually do it.
Ooh. Hey, she's doing Forrest
yeah.
Gump.
Yeah.
You asked me to dance.
She's doing the Forrest Gump dance.
My hands shaking, my knees are weak. Can't seem to stand on my own two feet.
That man had a great fall, guys.
I'm always desperate to be the cool white
I'm
check.
All shook up.
I'm always trying.
As opposed to the uncool one.
My girl might get so mad at me. She goes, stop that. That's racist. I'm like, I'm just trying. Jeez, I'm
you're just telling the truth.
I do my accents and my...
Yeah.
Hey.
Amber's a glass of milk with hair. That's all white she is.
Opaque.
No, good song on this one too.
I love this one.
And now we call it rockabilly, which
yes.
is really interesting.
Yeah.
You know, mine I chose kind of in the same vein that Steve had his In the Ghetto. The older stuff again. Love the older stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Love Kentucky Rain. But also one of my favorite is Suspicious Minds.
I do love this one too. This is one that's fantastic.
I'll turn it up.
We're caught in a trap.
Oh, yes. I get chills.
I can't walk out because I love you too much, baby.
Love the violins right there.
Why can't you see?
It gets so deep in that.
What you doing to me? When you don't believe a word I say.
Such a good song.
Have you been to Graceland?
I do want to go.
You haven't been. I've been. I had a great time. We snuck in beers.
I'll have to play for you at some point.
You criminal.
Oh, no, no. Well, Mark and Brian did worse.
What did they do?
Those criminals.
They actually broadcasted from Graceland.
Oh, yeah, I remember that.
Without telling Graceland that they're broadcasting and recorded inside.
Oh, wow.
And, yeah, they got thrown out. And everything, they went to Elvis Jail, which is basically the kitchen.
Elvis Jail, which is the kitchen. Oh, yeah. That's hilarious.
And yeah, I'll have to play. I
want to hear that. It's fun. It for you. There's a smell. It has its own. You walk in, you're like.
Well, it's a jungle room.
Yeah. Oh, my gosh.
What, banana farts?
No. It is.
Bacon?
The museum. Oh, sheesh. And the car. The car is in there. And the it's really cool. And I got to go see his grave. Elvis Aaron Presley. Yeah. Uh-huh.
Savaren Gestaflik in Graceland.
And then you go to... thank you. And then you... And then my mind... Because when I think of Elvis, I think of food.
Well, I think wow. of Memphis well, yeah. food.
So, you know, we went to Beale Street and we ate all, you know, and just...
Peanut butter and banana?
No, that... But my dad made those for me growing up all the
time. Did you know that they actually... right where the gate is, though, they purposely built a street that runs into the gate. And it's called Lonely Street. And there's the hotel at the very end.
At the very end of it?
Yeah.
At the end of Lonely Street.
Yeah. They purposely did that. So when you go to Memphis, you can stay at the hotel at the end of Lonely Street.
Well, I'll be.
But,
You can. That's I'm like, really?
It's a big deal, man. Fans, though, his fans are, wow.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
Wow. Lots of gray hair, little old ladies there. Mm-hmm. You can't mess around or joke about him.
Oh, no.
You're disrespecting the king.
Okay then.
Yeah. No, they're vicious down there. They really are.
Memphis is great.
Yeah.
It's great, good.
Zach, did you have one though? Or?
Yeah, I had to really think about it. This is mostly because of a movie that I grew up as a kid, and I'm sure we've all seen this. Remember the Look Who's Talking movies?
Yeah.
Look Who's Talking 2. There's a part when Mikey's like kind of reflecting on how mean he was to his little sister.
Okay.
And they're playing the song, you know, with the little montage of scenes, Are You Lonesome Tonight? And this is how I always remembered Elvis was this song and because of that movie. I was like,
Are
eight.
You lonesome tonight?
And I knew how to do a ballad though.
Do you miss me tonight? Are you sorry we drifted? Does your memory stray to a bright summer day when I kissed you and called you sweetheart? Do the chairs and
I do. I get chills when I hear his voice.
So does Steve, but that's for a different reason.
Do you gaze at your doorstep?
So glad I got my back turned most of the time.
Yeah, you miss a lot, which is okay.
That's all right.
I enjoy it.
I see enough.
I always got my eye on Steve, like, what's he doing over there?
It's not even about the song anymore.
No.
He makes the funniest faces at me, too.
Well, happy birthday, King. 85 years old, he would have been. It's scary because you know when how old he was when he passed away?
I forget. Was he?
42.
Oh, that's right. Oh, wow.
Yeah. Think about that for a moment there.
I know. I was like, oh, no.
Oh, well. 42 years old.
I'm on the toilet.
And I'm gonna shit.
Like, I can't
oh, my
get
gosh.
Shit.
Well,
it's the Amber and Zach show.
Okay. Segue. We lost a great one. This one, I think, has really, really hit the music community really hard. Very talented drummer. There's nothing you can say bad about this guy. I mean, innovative, ingenious, one of the best drummers, or the best drummer in the world. I think anybody who studies or goes into becoming a drummer will study this man at least once. And if you're smart, you'll study the whole thing on his technique and everything. And we're talking about Neil Peart of Rush. We got a little thing here, don't we, from City News?
Neil Peart, legendary drummer and lyricist for Rush, has died at the age of 67. Peart passed away on Tuesday after a quiet battle with cancer. Just a few minutes ago, the band released this statement.
Yeah.
It is with broken hearts and the deepest sadness that we must share the terrible news that on Tuesday, our friend, soul brother, and bandmate of over 45 years, Neil, has lost his incredibly brave 3.5-year battle with brain cancer, glioblastoma.
There's that word again.
It was Tuesday. Why are we hearing about it yesterday?
Because that's when they released the news.
Huh.
Peart was widely considered one of the greatest drummers in rock history, powering the Toronto Trio forward with virtuoso playing and solos. After joining Geddy Lee and Alex Lifeson in Rush in 1974, Peart became the band's primary lyricist, weaving stories of science fiction like 2112 and fantasy epics inspired by Lord of the Rings into the band's lengthy tracks. Today, True's guitarist John Angus MacDonald talked about the massive impact Peart had on the early days of Canada's rock scene.
Completely groundbreaking impact. I mean, I think he's widely considered one of the greatest rock drummers of all time in the whole world. And in that sense, he put Canada on the map in a very unique way in the very early days of the Canadian music scene. You know, he was the kind of player that just couldn't be ignored. And so he's represented Canada in an amazing way his whole career. We did record a cover for the reissue of Farewell to Kings that came out a couple years ago. We did Cinderella Man, and we did get a nice note from all the guys saying how much they appreciated our version, how much they liked it. And that meant a lot to us, just to hear directly from those guys, because we admire their musicianship so much.
Peart was inducted into the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame with Rush in 2013. He was honored as an officer of the Order of Canada in 1996 and is a member of the Canadian Songwriters Hall of Fame. Peart retired in 2015 after the band's final world tour. Today, he is being remembered as an icon across the country and the globe as rock legends take to Twitter to react to Peart's death. That includes members of the rock band Kiss, who once toured alongside Rush. Gene Simmons tweeting, "My prayers and condolences to the Peart family, fans, and friends. Neil was a kind soul. R.I.P." English musician Peter Frampton also putting his sorrow into words tonight. "Rest in peace, Neil Peart. So sad to hear." Tonight on City News at 11, we'll be speaking with more musicians and friends of Peart as tributes continue to pour in for the drummer.
There you go. The guy was just really innovative. And what's scary about the way he drummed is that when a drummer gets that good, they make it look effortless. You know, I mean, you take the song Tom Sawyer, which is one of my favorite, you know, Rush songs. It goes from, I think, what is it? 4/4 to 6/8 or something like that. And it does that a couple of times where it switches time signatures, mm-hmm. you know, kind of a thing. And then in the solo, it does something even odder. And then he comes back into the regular time or whatever. And, you know, he was just known for that. You okay?
Yeah.
We all heard a thud and turned
around. You're already on the floor. What did you do? You're already on the floor.
Rush took her to her knees.
So we all heard a thud as I'm talking. And Debbie was already on the floor and fell down on the floor.
She was mourning Neil Peart or Elvis. I don't know.
You okay?
That was awesome.
All right.
Wow.
Oh, another great moment here on your weekly dose.
Yeah.
So
Rush wouldn't have been Rush without him. They were such a they're such a unique.
Well, all three
band.
Of them.
Oh, okay. Steve's still over here.
I know.
Cackling.
You're right.
Bright red.
All three of them.
Yes.
I mean, have you ever seen him live?
Of course not.
Oh.
Listen
to this drum solo right here.
I've seen Dr. Dre and I've seen Aerosmith.
That's Dr. Dre.
I know Dr. Dre. But I think I missed out on, I was just a little too young to, and my parents, I think my dad liked Rush a bit, but I just missed out on getting to go to these shows.
I only know of the radio hits and a few deep cuts, not a tremendous, I mean, I don't even own a Rush album. But I, as a musician, I have just a tremendous respect for all three of them, you know, Geddy, Neil, and Alex, you know, just, they're such an incredible power trio, you know, that you don't need anybody else, you know, in the band or anything like that.
Dude can play, man. Wow.
Well, they all can, that's what I'm saying. You know, it's just amazing. And all three of them made it look effortless. But to see them live is just another aspect of it. You know, it's kind of like watching Michael Jackson live. You know, you have the respect for Michael is here, and then you watch him, and it's through the stratosphere. It's the
you
same thing.
You touched on the Michael Jackson thing.
It's, yeah, you know, same thing for Rush.
I'm still on the fence with that one there.
It's, you know, same thing with Rush, though. It's, you watch them, you hear the albums, and you're going, wow, that's amazing.
Yeah.
And you go, wow, that's technically, you know, incredible. But then you watch them do it live, it just, again, goes through the stratosphere. Mm-hmm. I mean, to sit there and watch Geddy Lee play keyboards, play bass with his feet, and sing at the same time,
another level.
You know, talking about patting your tummy, rubbing your head, or whatever, and hopping up on one foot at the same time. You know, then you fall down like Deb, who's close to the floor. You know, but for most of us, that is, you know, but, but you know, with these guys, it's just like, holy crap, you know. So,
well, he will be missed.
Absolutely, he'll definitely will be missed. So, you know what? Let's do this. Let's.
What are we gonna do?
Let's do some class.
What's next?
Some culture.
Some class. Some culture.
Culture. Something that we like to call
pocket-sized cinema.
Look, she's nervous. You can tell. Look at her.
I'm not nervous. I was just waiting. I'm just getting in my head here. Or I need to get out of my head. One or the other.
I like to get in your head, my dear.
And
well, good morning, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to pocket-sized cinema. Today's feature is entitled I'm So Proud. I'm So Proud. We open.
It's not in the script.
When an Irish girl returns home for New Year's after leaving home for 6 months prior. So let's pick up the action here, shall we? Sit back, relax, and enjoy. I'm So Proud.
Well, me little cupcake, where have you been all this time? Why did you not write us not even a single line? Why didn't you call?
Oh, Daddy, I became a prostitute.
What? You get out of this house, you shameless harlot. You're a complete disgrace to this family.
Okay, Daddy. If that's your wish, that's what I'll do. I understand, but first, though, I came back to give Mom this luxurious new fur coat, the title deeds to 10-bedroom mansion, and for my little sweet brother, I brought this gold Rolex.
Ooh.
And for you, Daddy, the sparkling new Mercedes limited edition convertible that's parked outside, and an invitation...
Mercedes?
An invitation to spend a fun New Year's Eve on board my new yacht in the Riviera.
Well, now, me love, what... What was it you said that you had become again?
A prostitute, Dad.
Oh.
A prostitute.
Oh, my goodness. Come here and give your old man a hug. Oh, darling, you scared me half to death. I thought you said Protestant.
Protestant? No, prostitute, Daddy. I'm so glad you're proud of me.
Thank the Lord.
Improving that.
We got to work on that accent, Amber, don't we? I had it down last...
That was great.
Last week, I had that thing down.
And that was pretty good.
Was it okay?
That was pretty good.
It's the cadence. I got to get that cadence down.
Yeah. Should we do the other one?
Of course. I think you guys should.
Double feature?
Yeah,
we'll do a double feature. All right, let's do a double feature. And good morning, ladies and gentlemen, and we're back here with a double feature of Pocket Size
cinema.
Draw it out.
This episode is entitled, I Don't Want to Be That Guy. I don't want to be that guy. We open. When on a New Year's Eve, Bill was in no shape to drive, having had a few too many. So he sensibly left his car in the car park and walked home.
Smooth.
Like scotch, baby.
I can quit any time I want.
As he was wobbling along, he was stopped by a cop. Bah. Let's pick up the action here, shall we? Sit back, relax, and enjoy. I don't want to be that guy.
Me neither.
You can be the officer. I don't care.
Well, I mean,
You guys should have maybe...
We should have talked about this.
I'll be the officer.
Okay,
just jump in.
Hey, what are you doing out here at 4 o'clock in the morning?
I was getting drunk, and so I just figured. Ossifer, the thing is, I am on my way to a lecture.
A lecture? And who in their right mind is going to give a lecture at this time on New Year's Eve?
My wife.
Oh, boy.
How about a shot?
Oh, boy.
Going for the Foster Brooks there, weren't you?
A little bit.
Yeah, that's so. Yeah, okay. yeah.
That one should have been an English accent.
All right, well, let's wrap this episode up, guys. Do we got questions for the gamer?
Yeah.
We do? All right, let's play real quick.
That's me wrapping it up.
Yo, what did you play?
Quiz now, me. Ladies and gentlemen, here we go. Quiz me. Quiz you.
Is that what that is?
Look at her little legs.
They can't even touch the ground.
If I make them, they do.
That's my favorite.
I was riding a horse.
That's my favorite thing about when Amber's here is like she's sitting there and like she's so little, your feet can't even touch the ground.
Oh, God.
When I give her a hug, I pick her up. It's like I'm hugging a stuffed animal.
I'm petite.
I should raise the stool even more.
Don't. I will know,
she'll
Sean.
Think she's next shrinking.
Week. Next week.
Every week it goes up an inch.
Question number one.
Deb, why don't you jump on this mic real quick and join us.
Come join us.
Join us.
Get in here.
You can.
It's easy.
Name is your buzzer.
Can we hear you?
Just
can you hear
me? Up.
No.
You can't hear me.
No, I can't hear you. I cannot hear what you're saying right now.
Oh, good.
Okay, good. All right, go ahead. Question
number one.
Bang him up. Knock him down.
Let me start that again. Question number one. I just like pressing buttons. How many Earths can fit inside the sun?
Oh, God. Oh, we've done this one before.
Have we? No, we haven't.
Sean.
It's a brand new page. What?
A shitload.
Give me a guess.
Oh, boy.
Sean, I go, what?
Let's start the guesstimation here.
Steve.
What?
As many as it takes to overflow.
God.
Yeah, give an answer, Amber.
Anybody else got
all
jokes?
All right, Amber.
Amber.
I'm going to just throw out, and I should know this one. I feel like I know. I'm going to say, like, 20,000. I know it's wrong, but, like, what's the guesstimate?
It's in the million.
Oh, forget it then. Yeah, go ahead.
1.3 million.
Okay.
I'm so sorry, everyone.
I knew it. Okay.
Sorry, not sorry. Question number 10. Where were the declaration of...
wow.
God, you know what? Maybe that pocket-sized theater got me drunk. Yeah. Where...
Theater. He said theater.
Where... were the Declaration of Independence,
where
the
was.
Constitution.
Oh.
I'm reading it. I know how it sounds.
Sean.
And the Sean.
They were signed at the bottom.
And the Bill of Rights stored during World War II. Oh.
Debbie.
Debbie. Steve. Debbie.
Where were they stored? Where were they
Amber.
Stored?
Amber.
Fort Knox.
That is correct.
You know why?
Wow.
Because we've done this one before. But I also lived in Tennessee, Fort Knox. Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
I actually think we have done this one before.
Yeah,
I don't care. It's freaking 2020.
I told you, I'm getting us a new quiz question.
Welcome to 2020.
What kind of accent was that?
Baba Wawa?
Baba Wawa?
How many of the speeches in Shakespeare's plays are recited by women?
See, we've done all this one. We've done this one.
No.
Yeah.
Have we? All right.
Yeah,
all right.
These are all things we've done.
Okay, hold on a second.
Give yourself a buzz. Debbie,
I'm nothing if not flexible.
I can't explain how great it is to have you sitting here.
Yeah, well, thank you so much. This is awesome.
This is so cool.
It feels really good. I'm stealing that. I have to find out where you got that T-shirt. Is that online? Okay, I have to find
Amazon.
Pride.
Amazon.
Don't forget to use our banner.
Yeah.
Amazon.
Debbie uses our banner all the time.
I do too.
I'm just saying that Debbie does all the time.
You gave me an accusing eyes.
No, I wasn't accusing anything. I'm just saying Debbie uses it all the time.
Maybe I have some guilt.
Yeah, you do some Jewish guilt there.
You could say that Debbie does banner.
Oh my gosh.
All the time.
How's this quiz show going there?
Question number
Zachary.
Three.
Oh, here we go.
All right, we're back. Hi. God, I don't even care.
I think that's becoming very obvious.
He's had a rough 2 days.
Morning.
I didn't get to tell my catching up story,
and all the problems when he showed up at my house. He actually had coffee.
I did.
Wow.
So it was like,
I will just say, I'll sum it up like this. Remember that part in Star Wars Force Awakens when Kylo Ren gets so mad, he takes his lightsaber and just bashes that console?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
That's literally what I felt like.
Okay.
That's pretty much how bad it really was.
I'm sorry, Zach. And now the quiz.
I'll show you the dark side.
Exactly.
There we go.
Which 80s movie was the highest grossing film of the decade?
Ooh, 80s.
Steve.
Fast Times at Ridgemont High.
No, that's actually a... incorrect answer. Why did I push that?
I don't know. Amber.
Should have been right.
I don't know. I want to say Top Gun.
Mm-mm.
I don't know why I want to say that Top Gun.
I will give you a hint. It is a Steven Spielberg movie.
Oh, I know what
Debbie.
It is.
E.T.
Oh.
Debbie, you are correct.
Say,
yes!
Say Debbie.
There you
I
go.
Said Debbie.
Yeah, okay, good.
That's okay. I like her better than all of you right now.
Okay,
I remember waiting in line 3 hours.
To see
that show.
Oh, wow.
There were lines at every theater around the blocks everywhere. It was insane. One of the first times that ever happened.
Wow.
My parents wouldn't take me. They knew I'd get nightmares.
Actually, here's a fun fact. In 1982, it surpassed Star Wars to become the highest grossing film at the time. It also held the record for 11 years until it was surpassed by Jurassic Park. Question number 5.
Wow.
Let's do another movie, one or two. Which 80s movie was Alan Rickman's very first role?
Oh, gosh. His first
Steve.
Role?
Steve.
Oh, shoot.
This is a tough one.
Sean.
I
know this is wrong, but I'm going to say Die Hard.
No, that's right.
Whoa!
Whoa.
Nice.
That was his first role?
What was it you said to me before? Yippee-ki-yay.
Motherfucker.
Question number 6. I cracked myself up. All right, one more 80s one. Which 80s movie spawned 6 sequels and a TV series?
6 sequels?
Mm-hmm.
Which 80s movie spawned 6 sequels
and a TV series?
Wow, that's a tough one.
I mean, it's not right, but I want to say Star Wars, but I know that's not it.
Yeah, because it's not an 80s movie. That was 77.
I know.
I kind of always known
Sean.
This. Sean.
The Terminator.
No.
Mm-hmm.
Is it a scary movie? Is it a
horror? No, it's comedy.
Oh, it's comedy?
Oh.
Like, kind of like...
Sean. Little Women.
What?
That's funny.
Those stupid Naked Gun movies or something. Was stupid.
We were
actually,
in Little Women.
Amber, you're close.
The Airplane, Debbie.
You're both close.
Amber. Is it Police Academy?
That is correct.
Wow.
I love the what's the guy who did all the voices and the.
Winslow.
Oh yeah, he was in Spaceballs.
He was in Spaceballs.
Yeah.
Question number. Are we at 6?
Yes.
All right. What the hell? 6. How about some Disney fun? What are the names of the 3 good fairies from Sleeping Beauty?
Oh, jeez.
Oh, I forget this one. It's my favorite movie.
Steve. Flora. Fauna.
There's a time limit on them.
Petunia.
No.
I can't remember the last one.
Yeah, I can't either. Shoot, flora, fauna, and...
Here's a hint. Think of the box.
Oh, I know it!
What?
Merryweather.
There you go.
What? Oh, Merryweather! Wow. Good job. Wow. That's
this is why we have Steve on the show.
Disney trivia right there.
Number seven.
No, old trivia.
Okay, okay.
Oh, okay. You know, actually, I'm picking Disney again. This is a good one. Who is the only Disney villain to never actually appear on screen in their respective Disney film?
Wow.
And he was voted number 20 on the American Film Institute's list of the 100 greatest villains of all time. Number one was Hannibal Lecter.
Which Disney villain didn't never
appear? You just threw my brain off with all that information.
Mind blown.
Oh.
The answer... may surprise you.
A villain that was never in...
I have a cool
never
voice.
On screen.
Never on screen. Okay. It's cartoon.
Yes. Go back, like, one of the most classic Disney movies of all
Steve,
time.
Oh, Steve, you gotta get this one. Come on.
I know, I'm like going, I know this.
No, the witch was in that one. The witch was in that one.
Steve. Bambi.
That is correct.
Oh, the hunter. Oh,
they just referred him as the man from Bambi. Yeah. Never ever shown.
I was thinking that, but I'm like, oh, it might be far stretch. Wow. Man.
That one makes me cry.
Oh, God.
I had to go back to my childhood.
Yeah. Traumatized.
That's why it took so long.
Question
la, la, la. 70 years, as I recall.
A lot to filter through.
Yeah, oh there is.
You did a good job.
Only cartoon movie that ever made me cry when I was little was Land Before Time, even though it's not a Disney movie.
That's not a Disney one, yeah.
I know it's not.
That, no, that made me cry, too.
For me, it was Little Women.
What is with you and Little Women?
I know. What is going on?
Okay, then. No answer. Cool. what does the word hieroglyphics mean?
Steve. Writing. Words. Ancient.
Sean.
Roman writing.
I'm going to give the Steve, you got it close
Egyptian.
Enough. Sacred writing.
Sacred writing.
Okay.
I would have gotten it wrong. I was going to say picture writing.
It's almost nine. It's almost time for nine.
That's close.
Yeah. It's all Greek to me.
But shh.
There's another Roman reference.
Yeah, it is.
Ooh, everything's okay. Connected.
Which ancient Egyptian dynasty was Ramesses III the pharaoh of?
Jeez.
Sean.
An important one.
God, I didn't see that coming.
None of us were history majors, especially ancient Egyptian history. I can do this.
I can't.
And I can be in denial.
Egyptian.
The Bengals.
Don't know.
I love the Bengals.
Everybody give up.
Yes, we do.
The 20th dynasty.
That's, you really need to filter the these better, Zach. You
want to do this?
Yes, I might. I'll
put you in this seat.
I might do quiz. I might quiz you next time.
Well, I'm going to question number 10 you.
The looks John's giving me.
Hold on. Let me find something that is suitable for you Jeopardy contestants.
Thank you.
I just want to see. I just have an impression of Zach out on. Like
no, a, don't you start
on a stretcher or something like that. And Amber's like turning the big old thing to stretch him out, going, "Give me the answer."
Next.
Are you proud of yourself?
Oh, that's like
the. What's the answer to pie?
A knight's tale.
Cherry. Yeah.
They did that to Heath Ledger.
Just do it.
Oh yes.
How many planets are in our solar system?
Steve.
Pretty good.
Eight.
Thank God.
And that's the show.
Nine. Poor Pluto.
Poor Pluto.
Stuck
it's
out there.
Still a planet.
Got denied.
Put on my blue suede shoes and boarded the plane.
Now I need some Memphis hot chicken.
I just want
different.
Food.
Memphis hot chicken is different than the Nashville hot chicken.
That's
very
true.
Very different.
I've dated both of them. I totally agree.
When I was staying up in L.A. with my friend Carlos, we went to a place to eat where that hot chicken restaurant was.
In Nashville?
No, in L.A. There's one in L.A., and there's always a line, like, you know, everywhere. Well, they went on, was it Postmates or there's one of those
DoorDash,
online to order? They ordered so many, they had to shut the delivery place down.
because there were so many people ordering from this chicken place.
Wow.
When was this?
Like this year, I think.
Okay. I might have to go test it against Prince's Chicken Shack.
So when you want hot chicken, you can't be in Nashville or Memphis. Go to L.A. It'll be closed, too. So there you go.
Or come to my house. I'm always testing a recipe.
Well, we want to thank Bobbo for coming in today and talking about his experience. Amber.
gets me.
Talking about his experiences on doing everything on a shoestring budget, and that you can be a successful musician out there in today's hard, cold world. So, because Bobbo's doing it all the time. So,
and if he didn't sound good,
yeah,
it probably wouldn't happen.
Exactly. Exactly.
You have to be talented, and you have to put the work in. Whatever it is you're going to do.
Shit, that's my problem.
Whatever it is. Oh, stop it.
Yeah,
whatever
that's it.
Whatever it is you want to do in life, you have to put the work in.
Yeah, absolutely.
If you don't put the work, it's not going to fall on your friggin' lap.
I got something you can work.
Oh, you.
Oh. And it wasn't me. Yeah.
All right, guys. Well, if you guys want to watch...
Zach turned red after he said that, too. He was immediately embarrassed.
He was.
Where's the music go?
I'll get you back.
Oh, see, he can't take the heat like I can.
Princess Chicken Shack.
You should have seen my heat this morning.
I heard
it. Oh, boy. Anyway, guys, show's website is yourweeklydose.com. Find us on Facebook at Your Weekly Dose. Twitter and Instagram. Follow us at Your Weekly Dose 1.
You can follow me, Steve, on Twitter, at SilvaLining69, and on Facebook, just Steve Silva.
I don't know. I don't know. Do I go on social media today? I don't know. You can find me, if you want to, Amber Ash McCary.
And I'm at Twitter and Instagram at Zombie Mel Gibson.
Thank you.
Nice way
to
welcome.
Welcome.
Yeah. And if you want to follow me, Sean, on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram, I made it simple. Simply Sean Roberts, HC. And there you go. So once again, thank you to Bobbo and SpongeBob. We appreciate them for coming in. Unexpectedly.
We didn't get to talk to SpongeBob much.
Yeah.
Next week.
We should interview him, you know.
So, speaking of next week, we will be dark next week, guys. So, no show next week. I will be at the NAMM show.
As will I.
We'll all be at NAMM a little bit.
Yeah, you guys can go when
this
you want.
This is going to be cool.
I know.
So we'll be dark next week, the 18th. And then coming back on the 25th, we have to finalize it, though. But we are looking on talking to Aileen Quinn, coming in the room and talking about her career and how she got the role to play Annie in the film.
I can't wait for that.
Along with Carol Burnett and Tim Curry. So it'll be fun. All right, guys, take care, have a good one, and be good to each other out there. And don't forget to catch us on Situation Radio as well.
Bye, guys.
Have a great time today, world.
I'm going to Vegas!
Listening to this week's show. Don't forget to support the show by shopping on Amazon. Just go to our website, yourweeklydose.com, click on the Amazon banner, and bookmark. Then start shopping. Remember to follow us on Twitter and Instagram at yourweeklydose1 and Facebook at yourweeklydose. We'll see you next week.